In Christ's name this morning, there's lots of needs out there today, and we can do our part by being a support and praying and lifting people to the throne of God. So God bless y'all for that extra time there this morning. Thank you to Joe also for letting me switch preaching spots with him. We plan to be gone next weekend to Davis County, so he graciously switched spots with me. I'm not sure how well this message fits in with everything else that's going on today, but it's what I feel the Lord wanted me to share, so it's what we're going to talk about. And this, what I'm sharing this morning, just to be clear, I do not in any way claim to have a complete understanding of it. If you get that impression from me this morning, you're wrong, because I don't. A lot of this stuff I have learned, a lot of this content in this message I learned from somebody else, and I learned it fairly recently, but I think he was right. And what I'd like to talk about, I titled the message, Discerning the Will of God. And I know we've had, I know I've heard Brother Joe preach on this. I know I've heard Ernie preach on it. I've heard this subject preached on before. I don't feel like it's has been a lack of being taught around here or anything like that. But sometimes I have discovered I am a fairly dense human, and sometimes things don't connect. And sometimes you actually have to learn some of this stuff on your own and study it out on your own. So that's where this message comes from this morning. Let's start with a few questions. Does God want me and you to find His will? Does God make it hard for me to find His will for my life? Will God ask me to do something that I hate? And why am I sometimes so reluctant to being open and vulnerable to God's will? So if you're a Christian this morning, those are probably questions you've asked yourself already. I know I have. And I've wondered already, so we have this all-powerful God that knows everything. Why can't He have like a blackboard like that in my life and He writes out His life plan? That's very easy for me to just read it and I can study it and I know this is what God wants me to do and this is what I'm going to go do. He could have done that. He could write a plan for the week or the month or the day or the year, but He doesn't really, does He? Some people say they've heard God speak in an audible voice, and I'm not here to say that He doesn't ever. I think He probably does, but that's not really been my experience. I can't say I've heard an audible voice from God in heaven telling me to go do something. And in reading through this and studying this, I think I've been doing some things wrong in discerning the will of God. And as we go through this, I'd like to share some of those things with you. We'll start by reading Psalms 25, just the first 8 verses there. So the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. And I like to think he was so close to God that he always knew exactly what God's will was. He seemed like a man with a purpose and knew what God wanted him to go chase down. And it was probably more of a struggle for him than what I think. Let's read Psalms 25, 1 through 8. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy paths and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, and on thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach the sinner in his way. If I had a theme verse for today, it would be verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. So if a man like David had to have this plea with God, a man that was a man after God's own heart, how much more does a person like me need it? That begging, that longing to know God's will for us and to teach us his paths. And going back to answer one of my earlier questions, I truly, truly believe God wants us to know his will this morning. I think he does. Now let's start with a basic concept, just a few basic concepts here. Number one, there's not a whole bunch of things in this world that I can say with 100% certainty, but I can say this with 100% certainty. If you're a God-following Christian, God will never ask you to do something that is contrary to his word. That's a very basic principle of the Bible. God will not ask me to do something against his word. There are some religions out there that are a little soft on that. Our Catholic friends would be a little bit like that. The Pope can kind of override what the Bible says, it seems, and we can kind of see the effects of how that's worked through the years. But what God has said, what he's going to say, and he's never going to ask me to go against it. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord and I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." There's some things that are so clear in the Bible. I'll just go over four of them here. And these verses clearly state in them will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 would be one of them. Abstain from fornication. God will never ask me to do anything that involves fornication. He won't. It says it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God, or however the rest of that verse is there. That's one of the things that is God's will, that we be a thankful people. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as servants doing the will of God from the heart. That verse also has the words in there for the will of God. 1 Peter 2:15 is another one that in well-doing put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That one also has the words will of God. And there's other verses. There's some, if you do that search in the Bible, Paul used it a lot, like in Colossians 1:1 of Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, that type of thing. And there's, just because the Bible doesn't specifically say this is the will of God, don't mean it's not the will of God. I want to be clear on that. But there are some of those things, like those four I mentioned, that God specifically tells us as his followers, it is not my will that you do this, or it is my will that you do this. He's very clear. So some of that stuff is not an argument in our circles. I mean, we understand that. What's maybe some of the things that befuddle my mind is some of the more day-to-day things. Things that are maybe a little bit more personal. How does a person figure some of this out? Does God care about every tiny, tiny little detail? And something else I've been learning is that God is a great communicator. He is. It's often my denseness or my not openness is what's causing me to not understand. It's not God. God is good at communicating. So what about these little things? The Bible says, we all know, he sees the little sparrows fall. So obviously he cares about little things in life. And I want to be careful here, because I know sometimes little things have bigger consequences than what we think at face value. But does God really care if you make your salad out of spinach or out of lettuce? I don't know. I don't really think, I think God lets some of that stuff up to our discretion. I don't know that he really cares. Does he really care if you have peas or carrots for supper? I don't know. Ladies, if you know your husband hates peas and you have carrots handy and he likes those, maybe we can have that argument, or maybe we ought to have the argument that your husband ought to learn to like peas. I don't know, but does God really care about some of these things? I don't know how to answer all those questions. But I do think God has given us a mind to reason and to think some of these things through. And there may not be a right or a wrong answer. So here's one of the other problems I've had in my life already, and that I've been doing wrong. I used to look at it like, what is God's plan for my life? And I want to tell y'all, I think that's a wrong way to look at it. This not completely wrong, but I think I'm starting out on the wrong basis. I don't need to start on the basis of what is God's plan for my life. Listening to this man talk on this subject, he made this statement that I found interesting. Those who try to find God's will for their life usually spend their life looking for God's will. Think about that for a little bit. Those who try to find God's will for their life usually spend their life looking for God's will. That was some of my problem. I wanted God to lay out a big, detailed life plan for me. And God doesn't usually do that. He didn't do that with Moses. He didn't tell Moses at the age 12, he didn't pull him aside and say, listen, I'm going to send you to the palace. You learn everything you can about the Egyptian dynasty. Learn how they work. Learn how they think, because one of these days I'm going to send you back here to get your people out. Oh, and while you're at it, let's learn some desert survival skills. You're going to be out there for 40 years or so. And learn a little bit about mountain climbing, because you're going to be stomping up and down one of those a few times. And by the way, when you die, nobody's going to find you because I'm going to bury you. God didn't do that. He gave him one little step at a time. He gave him step-by-step increments that he could handle. God knows that if I know my whole life, I'm very likely tempted to be despair. So he doesn't do that. And we have to be all right with that. As humans, we have to be all right that there's just things in life we don't know what's going to come up. It's part of the faith and the trust part of the Christian walk. So number one, God's probably not going to give you a complete life plan. And here's the second thing I want us to remember this morning. And it's the thing if you forget everything else I say this morning, you can remember this. I think the very first thing into discerning God's will is to surrender to it. And that's a backwards way of looking at it, I know. Because here's what happens. We ask God, God says of us, are you willing? And we say, what do you want me to do, Lord? And God says, what are you willing? And we say, what do you want me to do, Lord? And God says, are you willing? And we say, we don't want to commit because we don't know what it is. That's human nature. It may be one thing if we don't commit to something to one of our human friends on earth. We want to know what the stipulations are before we commit to anything. There's nothing wrong with that among us here on earth. But with God, we have to surrender to him first, and then he'll lay out the steps. If we're not willing to do it, God's probably not going to give us a plan. Am I wrong in that? I don't think I am. God wants us, first of all, to surrender to his will, and then he'll lay out the steps. He wants us to let him use us for his glory. And if you think about it, it's really the best thing. God looks at our life from the end back to the beginning, or from whichever way he wants to. He knows how we're going to end up. Why wouldn't I trust myself to this all-knowing God? Why wouldn't I want to? A God that knew us before we were formed and directed our steps. You don't find God's will by looking for it. You only find it by submitting to it. And that was a problem of mine. It's still a problem of mine. I want to be in control. I want to know what's coming. We humans don't like the unknown. It scares us. George Mueller, he was an interesting man. But he made this statement: I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to any given matter. And that's a terrific key, my friends, in learning to discern and follow the will of God. That was a man that built some huge orphanages, and he did it with no debt, and he was firmly against the use of debt of any kind. And he had built orphanages like no other. He's still well respected for some of that stuff today. And this was back in the 1800s. If I go into any decision making and I have a preconceived idea of how God's going to work it out, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I have a pretty strong opinion about how God needs to work something out, I'm not saying we never have those, but if I'm not willing to lay it down, I'm setting myself up for failure. So we finally get to the point where, okay, Lord, I'll submit to your will, whatever it is. What do you do then? And I'll just tell y'all, I think the best thing you can do is just be faithful right where you're at. Just start by being faithful and supporting the community and the church you're in right where you are. God may call you somewhere. He may take it a year or 5 years or however long. You may be here a lifetime. I don't know. I can't tell you what God's plan is for you. But start, if you get to the point where you say, Lord, I'm going to submit to anything you want. I'm yours. The very next step, I think, is just to be faithful where you are. And what about the thing about if God asks me to do something I don't like? Do you think God will ask you to do something you don't like or maybe you'll hate? I'm not going to say God won't. He might. But why would a good and loving God ask you to do something you hate or don't like for a lifetime? If I'm truly following God's will, I don't think he will. Now, I'm not saying he won't for short periods of time, or maybe it may feel like long periods of time. You think about Joseph in the Bible. I'm sure he didn't want to be a slave. I'm sure he didn't like being falsely accused and thrown into jail. He was human. I'm sure he did not like that. But if you look at the end goal and see what God did through him, you can see it was a perfect plan, even though it wasn't easy for Joseph at the moment. You can see the family reunion at the end and the country that didn't starve. You can see all that. But Joseph in the moment didn't know all that. He was a human. So while we may not love every moment, I am convinced if we let God have his way, we will love the outcome. I can say that with confidence. Let's talk about some misconceptions of God's will, or what we humans sometimes think. One of them is only special people can find God's will. That's a lie from the devil, and I don't think any of us should believe it. God is a God of detail and plans, and I'm just here to tell y'all, none of y'all are an accident. God had an absolute plan for why you're sitting right where you are this morning. And God would not created you and have you here without a plan for you. God is a God of detail. Ephesians 5:17 says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. You here this morning were created for a special reason, and God wants you to understand his will. He didn't say just certain people. He didn't say just popular people or just well-known evangelists or whoever you want to put in the blank. God has a special plan for everybody. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise. Another misconception, I think, is God's will is a smorgasbord or a buffet. Remember the old restaurants that were buffets? There's not too many of them around anymore. And we can have a discussion on... Joe preached a good message a while back, I remember it, about God's permissive will. And we can have a discussion about that, but I don't think... Okay, here, God only made one of me. He didn't make two, thankfully. There's only one of me, and I'm human. I can't be in more places than one. God only needs me in one place at a time. He didn't... Think about Jonah. Trent talked about Jonah this morning, eating sushi. I never thought about that, but that's right. God didn't call Jonah and say, hey, here's Nineveh, and here's Nineveh 0.1, and Nineveh 0.2, and Nineveh point. All these, I have four bad cities, Jonah, and they all need me. And just take your pick, whichever one you want, have at it. They all need me equally. They're all sinners. Go for it. God didn't do that. God said, arise and go to Nineveh. He was very specific. He had a place he needed Jonah to go. And I think God, that same is true for us today. There may be places he's okay with us going, and it's not, I don't know how you say it, but I think God has a perfect place for us to go. And sometimes we humans like to think we can be anywhere. And we, yeah, be that as it may. Another thing. Does God's will always follow common sense? I think we know the answer to that. It made absolute no sense for Noah to build an ark out in the middle of nowhere. That was just, they didn't even know how to spell rain. They didn't know what rain was. It didn't make common sense. God sometimes asks us to do things that don't make sense. Are we going to be okay with that? Am I all right with that? Here's something else I catch myself doing sometimes. Be careful with letting circumstances make us think something's God's will. Let me explain that a little bit. So if I'm driving my rusty old Chevy truck down the road and it peters out right in front of the Chevrolet dealership, and I go in and, yeah, sure, they'll sell me a new truck, 100% financing, whatever. Can I take that as God's will? He wants me to drive a new truck? Sometimes we like to think that's God's will. But I'm just not convinced that's God's will. Maybe he wants me to call somebody from church and help me to tow it somewhere to get it fixed. Maybe he wants me to drive the old truck for a while yet. Or I set out all kinds of other silly little fleeces in my mind, and I think we can get ourselves in a real pickle if we're not careful with some of that. And some of this stuff is so human. I mean, we can say, Lord, if I'm driving through town and the next three lights are green, it's your will I do, ... whatever. Or if I'm driving down the road and I see, Lord, if you want me to move to Searcy, next time I come around the corner, there will be three cows out in the pasture and they'll all be doing push-ups. You know what I mean? Then we get ourselves in a real bind. Because then what if we don't see three cows? Or what if we do see three cows doing push-ups? Then what are we going to, then we start second-guessing ourselves. We need to be careful with some of these things. The devil is very knowledgeable about how the human brain works, and he's the father of lies. Don't forget that. He likes to torment our thinking. What about receiving counsel? God's placed us all in a church this morning, and it does say in a multitude of counselor there's safety. So if I get to a spot where I simply don't know for myself what God's will is, am I willing to be open to counsel? And I want to bless y'all in that. Y'all have. I've learned a lot from y'all in that. There's something about getting advice from a crowd or a circle of people that have walked some of life's paths already that sometimes they have an angle of looking at it I have never thought about. And sometimes I'm the one that gives wrong advice. I am. I've discovered that recently. But I think God works through churches And he in a circle of God-fearing brethren in prayer, it's amazing how God can work. And do churches make mistakes? Absolutely. Churches are human. Churches make mistakes. But I have noticed already that churches don't make mistakes as quick or as often as individuals. And so if I'm an individual, I need to be pretty careful if I'm going against what the church is recommending. Something else to remember through all this, and it's pretty easy to say right now, but in the moment it's pretty hard to grasp, and that is that God is on time. God's not early and God's not late. He's always right on time. And sometimes if I think I have a decision that has got to be made right now and I need to know the outcome and I run ahead, I sometimes get myself in trouble. I had to think about Elijah going and taking the last bit of food away from a widow. And the poor widow, I mean, this was it. And here comes a prophet of God and he's going to take it away from me? But right on time, God came and he filled the barrel back up. Or the Israelites going through the Red Sea was another example. Right on time, God opened it up, and right on time, God closed it back together. That's the God we serve this morning. Romans 12:2. Turn to that. It's a very common verse, but a very powerful verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God knows we're living in this world, and it's pretty easy for the world's thinking to creep into our thinking. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. The world likes to think they're in control when really God's in control. And we need to remember that. That word renew your mind means renovate or remodel. God's saying remodel your thinking. You have some of the world's thinking in there. Remodel it. And after that comes the perfect will of God. Jesus himself prayed for the will of the Father to be done. You see that in Luke 22:42. And he taught us in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10, to pray thy will be done. And if Jesus prayed this for himself and he told us to pray this for ourselves, it must be a pretty important step. In closing here, I want to read out of Ephesians. Ephesians 5, we'll read 15 through 21. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking of yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So I'm not going to ask y'all this morning to stand if you want to submit your life to God. I have the confidence I'm sitting in a church full of people who want to be committed to God's will and submit to God's will. But that is something that has been a struggle for me recently. Just submitting to God's will. And I have been trying to pray in my morning prayers that God just make me 100% submitted to your will. I don't want anything else in my life but 100%. Just let God take it. And it's hard, folks. It's hard. Because we're humans. We have our emotions and we have our thoughts and our feelings, and sometimes they get all, it just don't seem like some things are right, and we think we know how it needs to be. But my challenge to y'all is, and myself, can I just let it go? Whatever you want, God, just let it go. And I think if we do, and I'm slowly coming into this realization, God will confirm our decision with his peace. I think he will. And I've been finding that, and I praise God for it. I'm not perfect. I've not got it all. But as we go through life, if we can submit and then have it confirmed again with the peace of God, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Y'all can pray for me in that, and I'll pray for y'all in that. Let's kneel for prayer.